Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Chad has the day off. Dave Schrader filling in. At the last part of last hour, we were talking with Danielle Davis, the director of body donation program at Ohio State University College of Medicine. We were talking about that, and I've had quite a few of you chime in. I just wanted to make sure that I did mention this on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Hi, Dave. We filled out the forms for body donation with the University of Minnesota 30 years ago, and our family knows of our wishes. The U of M has a marvelous program, and they have a service yearly and program to plant a tree in honor of those who donated. Another listener says, Dave, did anyone mention that U of M, UMN, has a body donation program? Happy New Year. Thank you for the programs. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure people are aware of that. So if you missed any part of that, you can always check out these programs in our podcast. You can find it on the WCCO website or on the Odyssey app. And just check in the last hour. You'll hear more of that information. A couple other strange stories to cover here. And this is a story. And Josh, I don't know if you've heard about this. I mean, this sounds like it's straight out of a heist movie.
Yeah.
The FBI is warning about a highly organized South American crime group targeting professional athletes right here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And we're talking NFL, NBA, big names like Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Joe Burrow. They're all getting hit with the sophisticated home burglaries that are taking place. And here's, according to what they're reporting, these are how the groups operate. They don't just break a window and hope for the best. They're actually scouting these athletes for weeks, and maybe in some cases months. They're using drones to check out properties, to jam security systems, and even monitor social media to figure out when their targets won't be home. So this is, I mean, this is next level stuff. This is Mission Impossible kind of stuff. And again, it's all about timing. They wait until these athletes are out doing their thing, playing in games, and then they strike. Now, Luka Doncic, for example, his Dallas home was burglarized. $30,000 worth of stuff stolen. But it's not just about the money. It's, you know, your violation of privacy. So imagine coming home to find someone's rifled through your personal life, right? They, in the local news here, they've talked about, I believe, Justin Jefferson, how he maintains just a normal little home. He doesn't have some McMansion and everything. And they've shown photographs of the damn thing on
oh, yeah.
In the news. You know, so that's a little uncertain, right? I mean, you don't want to keep putting it out there and making it show to these criminals just how easy it is to access some of them. Now, both NFL and NBA have issued alerts to their players urging them to beef up their home security, and they're saying don't post real time on social media. Install better systems and make it look like someone's home even when you're not, which is, you know, good advice for all of us, really, right?
Yeah.
But here's what I want to ask. Do you think that social media is a big part of the problem here? I mean, these athletes are public figures, so it's easy to know where they're going to be at the game. But when you add in Instagram posts or live updates, it makes these burglars' jobs even easier,
mm-hmm.
right? And talk about the sophistication of these groups. It's not your average smash and grab. It's drones, signal jamming, pre-surveillance. This is a full-on operation. So should leagues be doing more to protect their players, or is this just part of being a high-profile celebrity?
We talked about it a little bit yesterday. I think it's a second-level thing. There, you know, more security on the first level, second level, and beyond is probably not as tightened as far as cameras and sensors and stuff like that. So I feel like a second-level entry for some of these quote-unquote burglars or thieves, if you want to call them that, is kind of how they're going about their business. And like you said, drones, that's a good way to kind of survey the area, survey the land of, all right, where's a good spot I can get into this area without, being caught on camera. And I'm sure that they've been able to, they know every kind of nook and cranny.
But if they can jam your alarm system, that's terrifying.
Yeah, it's not good.
Because, you know, what then stops them from becoming more bold and just jamming your security system and breaking in while you're home?
Yeah.
Right?
Which some of these athletes, good luck with that. But
right. But I still, I don't know. This is very unnerving.
Yeah.
One other quick story we'll cover, another tough piece of news to share from the world of boxing. Paul Bamba, a rising star in the sport, passed away at just the age of 35 years, just days after a historic win. He had recently claimed the WBA Gold Cruiserweight title, his 14th knockout victory of 2024. Which breaks a record that was stood since Mike Tyson's heyday.
Mm.
14 bouts in 1 year. That seems excessive. For the boxing commission to allow that many? I mean, I guess it depends. If the guy did not get hit and he's like Mike Tyson and knocks somebody out in the first 10 seconds, I guess 14 fights where you're not taking any abuse, not a big deal.
Yeah.
So I don't know what all is going into that. But Paul's journey was, it's nothing short of inspiring. He was a Marine Corps veteran. He found boxing as this way to kind of channel his energy and overcome his own struggles. And just last month, he became the first athlete signed to R&B singer Ne-Yo's sport management company, a sign of his growing star power. As Ne-Yo himself spoke out, calling Paul a very fierce competitor with unmatched drive and ambition. And what makes this even more heartbreaking, of course, is the mystery surrounding the death. The cause hasn't been disclosed yet. And it's left fans and the boxing community really kind of reeling, especially after such a high moment in his career. So this kind of story raises, again, a lot of questions. For one, how do we better support our athletes as they push themselves to the limit, both physically and mentally? And when is, records are great. Mm. Breaking records are phenomenal. It gives us an opportunity to strive for perfection, to strive to be better. But when it's something that's this brute, maybe that should be the line. 14 will always be the record now. Let's change to something else, right? And let's not – 14 bouts, that's more than one a month.
Yeah, and in a similar fashion, you don't see UFC fighters even doing 14 fights in a year.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a 3 month at least between fights that they take. I mean, every now and then you'll see it, like even a UFC fighter do, a month in between their fight. But usually sparring and getting prepared for their next fight in boxing is about the same. You don't see,
And again, I guess it depends on the type of punishment you took during that bout.
Yeah.
If you're getting in there and didn't really get hit and you take a guy out pretty quickly and this guy had 14 knockouts. That says something pretty big. Listener on the Styles Financial Talk and Text Line says, yeah, Dave, these sophisticated thefts are crazy. Why don't we have the sophistication to apprehend them? That is the bigger question. And when you're talking about all these drones that are being seen all over the United States and especially around military installations, we now know that South American gang lords and gangs have figured out how to jam systems. What does this mean for the bigger picture and what is really going on out there?
Been quite the trend.
Yeah, you can hit us up. Let me know your thoughts. 651-461-9226. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. This is News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to the program. Chad is off today. I'm Dave Schrader filling in. Is DeRussia on today, or do we have a
That's Dan Cook again. Dan Cook? The big shoes of DeRussia.
Wow, yeah. Fancy.
Yeah.
So that'll take place after today's program. So I wanted to talk about some news and to give a little context as to why I want to chat about this. So the big news out of North Carolina, and again, folks, if you want to be a part of this conversation, stylesfinancial.com, talk and text line 651-461-9226. This is going to be about the death penalty, 651-461-9226. The big news out of North Carolina on this final day in office, Governor Ray Cooper commuted the death sentences of 15 inmates to life in prison without parole. Now, the move itself reduces the state's death row population by over 10% and marks a significant moment in the ongoing conversation about capital punishment. Governor Cooper said he made the decision after a lot of reflection, prayer, and thorough reviews of each case. And he took into account the circumstances of the crimes, the inmates' behavior in prison, and issues like legal representation, racial bias. He stated his goal was to ensure justice while acknowledging concerns about the fairness of the death penalty. Now, interestingly, North Carolina hasn't carried out an actual execution, from my understanding, since around 2006, even though the death penalty is still legal there. So this decision raises big questions. Should more states follow suit? How do we balance justice for victims with concerns about fairness in the justice system? And what do you think about this move by Governor Cooper? President Biden commuted quite a few death sentences as well. Now, this is my unfortunate tie to the story and why the death penalty to me is something that I'm still very conflicted about. In November of 1995, Deborah Evans, a 28-year-old mother in Addison, Illinois, was brutally murdered alongside two of her children, 10-year-old Samantha and 7-year-old Joshua. And Debbie was 9 months pregnant at the time, was attacked in her home by Jacqueline Williams, her boyfriend Fidel Caffey, and Debbie's ex-boyfriend Laverne Ward. The assailants forcibly removed her unborn child, Elijah, from her womb. Miraculously, Elijah survived and still alive today. Deborah's youngest son, 19-month-old Jordan, was left unharmed as well. The perpetrators were apprehended, convicted, and sentenced to life in prison. They were originally sentenced to death. And one of the former Governor Ryans, as he stepped out of office, did the same thing, commuting and pardoning, well, I shouldn't say pardoning, but commuting everybody that was on death row, everybody on death row to life without parole. This case is important to me. Deborah was not only a friend of mine, she was my very first girlfriend in Illinois. We remained friends throughout her life, and although we weren't a couple, I'm not the father of any of her children, we were friends. Her son Joshua was born at the same time my son Cliff was born. And I had a hand in naming her son Joshua Ryan, and it was just, we had remained close that way, and I had been a confidant and a go-to, somebody that was on her side trying to help. I didn't see this murder coming. I obviously was shocked and dismayed by what happened. Brutal. I felt that justice was swift in this case. Thankfully, the court system allowed the testimony of Joshua Ryan, who he had hidden in a closet during the attacks. Unfortunately, ran out through the back door and ran smack into the three of them and the baby, and then was brutally treated for the next 24 hours before being executed and left in a garbage bin in Illinois. And absolutely tragic. But during that time, Joshua had related to a person, a friend of the perpetrators, what had happened. They were telling her that this boy's mom had been killed in a drug deal gone bad. He told her what really happened and was eyewitness to it all. And that was a big part of the court case that put them in prison and on death row. Commuting the sentence was a kick in the stomach and in the heart for many of us, many of the survivors left behind to be reminded of this crime. Now, Debbie was Christian, and I know that her family has a very strong Christian faith and belief, But I believe all of us were kind of devastated by the news that they had been commuted. What adds insult to injury is to know that two of them have been on inmate prison dating sites and allowed to lead a life that they robbed three people of, and allowed to date and have access to the internet so that they can have those elements of their life still available to them. It's really tough. I would like to think I'm in an elevated conscious place where death and an eye for an eye should not be a relevant point, but it's a very bitter pill to swallow. I, for the longest time, was of the belief that in this case, it was open and shut. They found the baby in the possession of Jacqueline and her boyfriend, Fidel, who quickly implicated Laverne Ward, the boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, and they found Debbie's jacket. They found blood. They found everything that put them there, and there was no way out of this. There was no beating this case, and in my opinion, it was the minute that gavel hit the table and said guilty and death, I would have just believed lead him out in the back and take him down right now, right then and there. They should not live another moment, and especially not on taxpayers' money and dimes. There was no question about their guilt involved in this case. And that is really, you know, for the longest time, how I felt. I've since been contacted by a relative of Laverne Ward who had a different perspective, along with the insights of an investigative journalist that did have some compelling information that could shine a new light on this case. But the Illinois government and police department did not want to examine that aspect of it. So had they been put to death, perhaps one of these people may have been unfairly put to death. I understand the reason to be cautious in these situations, because estimating the number of innocent individuals that are currently incarcerated in the United States, that's challenging. But there are studies out there that suggest a significant number of wrongful convictions exist. The Innocence Project estimates that between 2.3% and upwards of 5% of all U.S. prisoners may be innocent. With an incarcerated population, folks, think about this, an incarcerated population of approximately 2.3 million people, this suggests that between 46,000 and upwards of 115,000 individuals have been wrongly imprisoned. And focusing on death row inmates, a 2014 study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science estimated that 4.1% of defendants sentenced to death in the U.S. are innocent. And these figures, they highlight the critical importance of addressing wrongful convictions within the criminal justice system. Organizations like, and these organizations are doing great work, like the Innocent Project, work tirelessly to try to exonerate those who have been wrongfully convicted and to implement reforms aimed at preventing such injustices in the future. We'll take a quick break. I'd like to hear from you. 651-461-9226. You can hit me up on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. I have more thoughts on this. I want to discuss this a little further, go a little deeper. But what are your thoughts on the death penalty? And when should it be implemented? Is that too barbaric a system? What are your thoughts on the current ways that the death penalty is carried out? Electrocution or through lethal injection? And there's a lot of questions about lethal injection and how humane that is. My question is, how humane do we need to be to somebody who took the life of others without any regard to them, their family, friends, or the future? We'll talk about that when we return. I'm Dave Schrader. This is News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to the program. Dave Schrader in for Chad. So we were talking about the death penalty. Obviously, the President Biden commuted quite a few sentences. We just talked about another governor that commuted sentences. What is your take on the death penalty? If it is a closed case, open and shut case, is that something that you believe should be handled quickly, effectively, efficiently? And what is a closed case? Obviously, we know that there has been a lot of flaws in our justice system. Defense and the prosecution are less worried, in my opinion, about justice as they are about wins, getting a win so that you can get elected or get higher profile cases. We need to hold our judicial system, our court systems, to a higher standard where we're not rewarded for wins, where we're rewarded for justice, getting the story right, not omitting certain things to keep our prisoner out of jail, not creating false narratives in order to place a seed of doubt, but sticking with facts, getting these stories out there. I talked to you about the fact that there are quite a few people believed to be wrongly convicted and incarcerated. One story that comes to mind, which is terrifying, Tommy Lynn Sells was a serial killer and was put to death, I don't know, like a decade ago. I spoke to the author that wrote a book about Tommy Lynn Sells. One of the tragic elements of his story is not only was he an arrogant murderer, but during his interviews with this author, he talked about the fact that, not only did he commit these murders, but he committed so many more people don't know about, including one mother on death row in Illinois who was on death row for the murder of her own child, and Tommy Lynn Sells was the murderer. And because of the information that Tommy Lynn Sells provided, because of everything that he said to this reporter, to this journalist, she was able to get the mother exonerated. And Tommy Lynn Sells ended up taking the fall for the crime that he committed. But he admitted that there were more. And the real travesty to me in this case was, how many more people? Could you imagine losing a loved one and then being put in prison for the murder and then being put on death row for the murder? So you've lost your life, you've lost somebody you love, and you're innocent. So I understand the desire to reexamine these cases, making sure that justice prevailed, commuting these sentences, making sure that we're getting it right. But it's terrifying, right? And in that case with Tommy Lynn Sells, what kind of negotiation should we have used? He didn't want to die. Should we have negotiated? Hey, for every murder that you admit to that we can prove you're attached to because of the details and information he was able to supply, we'll extend your life 3 months, 6 months, a year. Would you be open to that kind of negotiation with a murderer so that other families could get closure and other people serving time on death row or serving time period for crimes they did not commit could be exonerated and released? When do we enter into these negotiations, and how dangerous a situation is that? One of our listeners came in through the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Dave, the decision of the judicial process can be overruled by the decision or opinion of just one person who has the power to pardon. That's just plain wrong. You're right. I think so. I believe that's wrong as well. However, I don't necessarily disagree with the fact that we have to reexamine it. Yesterday, when I filled in on the morning show, we talked about Jimmy Carter. And the fact that he had a nanny that he and Rosalind chose to help raise Amy. This nanny was a convicted murderer. But upon reexamination of her case, it was believed that she was not responsible for this murder, that the case was handled improperly. Not only did she become the nanny for Amy when they moved into the White House, she came with them. She moved to Washington, D.C., continued to work her job while raising her family, and President Carter was given the job of parole officer over her to make sure that everything was clear and free. When he left presidency, she moved back to Plainville, Georgia with them and lived as a nearby neighbor, as a lifetime friend and relative. There was somebody, again, who was wrongly convicted of a crime. Justice was never meted out. I mean, for the proper people. The bigger scope of this is, what is right when it comes to the death penalty? Many of us left behind shake our fist and want retribution. We want justice. But what does justice look like? And should justice be given when the justice system is broken and maybe these perpetrators or alleged perpetrators aren't getting a fair shake in court? That's something to really consider. That's something to think about and move forward with. How do we start to fix this if we don't fix the court systems first and start holding attorneys and public defenders and, district attorneys accountable? Because there's really no accountability for these people in a lot of these cases. And that's a true travesty of justice as well, because it does make you wonder how many people are suffering needlessly in prison because it was easier to hang the crime on this person because, well, maybe Josh isn't really responsible for this crime, but he's got a shady enough background that we're probably keeping the streets safe by keeping him incarcerated anyway.
This is true.
Right?
Very true.
Sad. Yes. We'll lighten it up when we come back. Just things to think about, put out there as we move forward into the new year. We'll talk more when we return. I'm Dave Schrader.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Your wedding is a day you'll remember forever. And your fiancé? Your fiancé deserves a suit that feels just as special as the moment you say I do. At Nick's, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and we specialize in helping weddings own their suits for about the same price as a rental. That means not only will your fiancé look amazing on your wedding day, but we'll have a suit that can be worn for years to come. Let us make this the easiest and most meaningful part of planning your wedding. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is News Talk 830 WCCO.